will be turning the Bible with me to Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. That's the last chapter in Ezekiel. Find Lamentations, Ezekiel, and if you get to Daniel, you went too far. And you see Daniel look left. Ezekiel 48. Paul Pendleton is in Crow, West Virginia, and him and his brother in that congregation there, and the Lord just given him an ability and experience to contact TV stations and to know their lingo and to know what questions to ask and all that. And so he's been in contact with several TV stations in this area, and he's waiting for feedback on one or two more, but at the current time, it doesn't look like that's going to be possible. We knew it was going to be expensive. Wow. You think gas is going up. You think chicken is expensive. I try to get on TV. So we'll wait and see what the Lord has for us, and we'll start checking the radio stations and whatever means we can to get the gospel out. As it stands now, there's several individuals, believers around this nation that's supporting this work here, helping us, prays for us, and donates to us. Helps and offer their help, whether it's on the online, setting up sermon audio, FaceTiming to put, show you what button to push. And, I'm thankful for those. And then the church there in Ewing has been helping us, and Ashland for a year now, better. They've been consistently helping in Rocky Mount, Virginia, Paul Mahan, and those believers out there. They recently sent us some large support. I'm thankful. Lord's there. He's in. I hope this morning I want to try to shoot for time. I got to try to be shorter. But wouldn't that be something? Lord's always there. He sees all that. I'll terrify the people that make a mockery of his gospel. He's always there. He always knows all. Wouldn't it be something if he's here with us this morning in power? That's what we ask him often. Lord, be with us. Lord, don't leave us to ourselves. Be with us. Whatever's going on. What is he right now? That turn your crown upside down? Won't return to him, but. Alright. There in Ezekiel 48, the last nine chapters of Ezekiel, it speaks of a city. A city is described in these last nine chapters. The prophet tells us of this new Jerusalem that's going to. Not that city over in the Middle East, but a new Jerusalem that's going to come. And it sounds just like what the Apostle John saw coming down from God. He was telling of that second coming of our Lord. That city, that kingdom that would be with us. Brother Spurgeon commented on these last nine chapters, and he said, the prophet Ezekiel has been telling us of many remarkable things which I shall not attempt to explain to you. And my chief reason for not doing so, for not explaining it to you, is the fact that I do not understand them myself. Read them last nine chapters. You can dive deep in the ocean. And how far down do you have to go get wet? Yeah. I can say with confidence, we won't see everything on this earth. We won't understand all the scriptures on this earth, all the gospel that's to be revealed in this book. While we're here, we ain't going to get it all. We're going to run out, but we ain't going to get it. We won't exhaust the scriptures. But I can rejoice in what has been revealed. I can rejoice in what we can see. All that's been revealed to a believer is everything needed to be revealed to that believer. You get a hold of that? All that's needed to be revealed to a child of God is what God revealed to them. Why don't I need to know more? I don't think so. If you did, God would make you know. He would teach you. And don't fear about knowing too much. That ain't going to happen to you. At the end of these nine chapters, we read verse 30. Here in Ezekiel 48, verse 30. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. That's how big it is. Verse 31. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward. One gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500, same length. And three gates, that's the same. And one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, and one gate of Dan. At the south side, 4,500 measures. And three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. And at the west side, 4,500, and there are three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures all the way around. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. He's present. He's there. There are some things about this city that I just can't understand. There's things that we won't understand about this city because we ain't in that city when you've been there. It's hard to tell about a place you've never been. Don't try to describe a KISS concert if you've never seen one. It's hard to describe something. But there's some things that's simple about this city. There's some things that are lovely about this city that we can read about throughout the scriptures. This is God's city. This is his city. That's what Abraham looked for. Read Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, Abraham, he was sent to a physical place. But yes, of course. But he was looking for that spiritual. He knew as he walked through this earth, well, there'll be a place God will have for me. And that's where my physical family will be. But I ain't going to be here forever. He was looking for that spiritual building. This city, that God, that's God's city, it's a city of peace. Who rules that city? This city, this great city that's to come down in perfection. Who's going to rule that city? Christ our peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We just looked at that in Judges 6. He's the Lord of peace, and he's on the throne. City of peace. It's a safe city. There's walls all around. Just describe the walls to us. Big walls. Walls all around. Isaiah 26 says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Safe, it's strong. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Lord, set the walls. He's established the walls of this city. Safe. How can I be sure that these walls will hold out? How can I be sure that these bulwarks, what if he turns his back on? What if that concrete starts to fail? What if the sun works on it? What if the wind beats on it? Can they be climbed over? Can somebody come over in them walls? Can they be knocked down? Zechariah 2:5 says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of it. How safe is this city that's coming? God is a fire round about. His glory is in the midst of it. He's present. He's there. He's with you. This is a perfect city. These walls are make a perfect square. You can see that? Don't you? There's three gates on every side. Perfection. Perfect city. Perfect entrance. Sinners can come from any direction. Walk you down low. Come through. Walk you off to the side. Oh, I veered way off the path, as people say. No, perfection and entrance. Walk my head in the clouds. I can't get my thoughts together. Perfect entrances. Sinners can come from any direction, and they may enter by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the gate. He's the door. And he's opened those gates for every believer, every one of his children. And from our text here, something I know of this city is its name. Its name. What's the name of this place? Verse 35 says, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord has given this city several names throughout Scripture. And that's okay. You know that? Well, it says this over there. That's all right. We have different names for cities, don't we? You go to Philadelphia, you can go City of Brotherly Love. You call different things, don't you? Jeremiah 33 says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Is that the people in the city? Yes. Is that the city's name? Yes. There shall be no more, in Isaiah 62, there shall be no more term forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land the Lula. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. What about this city? It's married to the Lord. What about those in the city? They're married to the Lord. To be a part of this city is to be in the city. You get that? Be part of the kingdom of God is to be in the kingdom of God. To be a partaker of Christ is to be in Christ. You see, it's where it's going. It's to be in there. This name given to our city here in our text is the Lord is there. The only way for this city to be safe, the only way for it to be governed in peace, the only way for it to be a perfect city, the only way to be called the Lord our righteousness, the only way this city that the Lord could delight in it, the only way it could be married to the Lord, is that He is there. He's there. His presence is there. Jehovah Shammah. When we think of this name of the city, the Lord is there. This is His name. The name of His city. We think, well, of course He is. Right? We know big $5 words. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. We know that. Everybody knows. He's always there. But this doesn't just mean He's there only to run things, or to govern, or to monitor everything. He happens to be there. That's not the case. This He is there in the way of grace. For this city, He's there in the way of mercy. He's there in the way of salvation for His people. He's there in the way of tenderness and kindness and leadership. Lord God of us. He's there in healing and peace for that city. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there to make Himself known to His people and to dwell with them in unity forever. What a thought. That's where He's going to reveal Himself to His people, make Himself known to His people, and He's going to dwell with them. We're going to be with Him forever. I want the child of God to see proof of Jehovah Shammah in the past, in the present, and then forever to come, in the future that's to come. I can't say that for everyone else. The Lord sees all. He knows the heart. He knows the mind. You can keep your mouth shut. He knows every word you're thinking. I can't do that. He's there. But for the believer, for His children, those that He's given life to, we need to know that. We need to be reminded that the Lord's there. The Lord's there. You ever just felt all alone? Hold on. You ain't, because He's there. I don't see. Does that mean He ain't there? He is. He always has been. For His people, before this world was created, the Lord represented His people. He was our representation. He was our substitute. He was that satisfactory propitiation, that bloody sacrifice. Before the world was ever made, that covenant of grace took place. So in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Savior before there was a sinner. Before sin came into this world, He had saved His people. How wonderful is that? God's not reactive. Get that? Oh, that happened. What are we going to do now? Let's get a plan. No. His will is done. Big difference. He purposed to save the people. He was there for His elect. Before we fell in that first Adam, that second Adam was already established. That covenant of grace was sure, ordering all things and promised. Well, when that world was made, the Lord was there. This didn't happen, and He said, well, there's a world there. What am I going to do with it? Maybe I'll put some people on it. No. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He was there. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He and the Father are one, aren't they? He created this earth. He went into covenant with the Father, was our surety before time was, and then He created the earth. It says in John 1, in the beginning of the Word was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He was there. He made this perfect creation. He gave it life. He made the dry ground come. He put grass on that dry ground. Made the vegetation come out. Gave it wildlife. Gave us fish and the birds. Then he put man right in the middle of perfection. That was the first thing. After everything was prepared, then his child was put. What will it be with the second one? Before our minds come to, before we woke up, before we give the spiritual birth, everything has been prepared. He's not going to prepare a place for you. And then, at that point of time, when it's right, when it pleases God, he'll put us in perfection. Put us in his city. There in Genesis 3:8 says, and they heard a voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The Lord walked with Adam. He was there with Adam. Isn't that something? He walked with Adam like a friend takes a walk with another friend. He's there. The glory of the Garden of Eden was that the Lord was there. It was beautiful. It probably had plants in it and animals that we ain't never even consider how beautiful it is. It was beautiful. But the glory of that place, the glory of it was because the Lord was there. And Adam failed. Where was the Lord when Adam failed? Where was the Lord when something bad happened, we say? Well, where was God then? He was there. He was there. He allowed that to take place to accomplish his eternal purpose. Even after Adam fell, God came to him. And what did Adam do? The Lord came to him after he disobeyed God. And then Adam blamed him. That's your fault. You gave me her. That woman you gave me. Did the Lord kill Adam immediately? No, he was there revealing himself to him. He gave a prophecy to see the woman. And then he took a lamb, slew it, and clothed Adam and Eve in their nakedness, showing Christ and him crucified. And he said, that serpent beguiled you, the seed's going to come, and he'll crush his head. He came to his disobedient child and revealed himself, revealed his purpose, his will to that child. He was going to provide himself a lamb. Adam, you can't heal the sickness you brought upon all this race. Jehovah Rapha can. Lord, it heals him. How are you going to be healed? And if that's out of righteousness, you don't have any, Adam. You can't. You're in the hole. You're in debt. Your iniquity is inequity. Jehovah sent Ken and the Lord our righteousness can. We're going to get that. How are you going to provide that? Who's going to do that? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Where is this Lord so I can call on him? Do I have to be in a building? Do I have to be around the right people? Do I have to put on the right clothes and shine myself up just right and smile real big? No, he's there. Where's the Lord we can call on for mercy? He's there. He's there. He's right here. Man did not improve even with that promise. God came to Adam and Eve and spoke to them. Told them what he was going to do for them. Well, they got their act together now. Now they've evolved something, right? They got on a good Christian living. No. Genesis 6 says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the ever imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How did he know that? The Lord was there. He saw. There was going to be a flood coming. He was going to deal with what he saw. But there's good news in that. The God of all grace was there. He was there. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What would Noah do with the knowledge God was going to destroy everything on this earth? What are you going to do? What would you do with that? The Lord came to you and said, I know everything. I know the wickedness of man, and I'm going to destroy everything I've created. So I told him. Well, would you be crushed? The Lord told Noah, this is what I'm going to do. And he says, now, build an ark. Build an ark. The Lord was there to tell Noah. Abraham and Isaac went up to worship, to sacrifice to God. The Lord was there. He told them to go, and he was a lamb there in the bushes with them. Jacob fell asleep on that pillow of stone, and he saw a ladder going up to the heavens. And there was angels, ascending and descending. What was that? The top of the ladder. The Lord was there. He stood above it. He gave word to Jacob that the land that he was on was going to be given to his seed, and they would be blessed. Why? Genesis 28:15, it says, behold, I am with thee. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shaddai. The the Lord was there in every sacrifice we see, in every picture we have, in every type, in the tabernacle, in every feast that's pictured, in the Passover. The high priest, he was there. He was revealing himself to his children. That smitten rock that followed Egypt, followed Israel in the wilderness after they left Egypt, he was there. That brazen serpent lifted up. Look to him. There he is. Those three Hebrew children. One of my favorite. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad at them. They wouldn't bow to his little pagan god. He said, cast them in the furnace. Heat it up seven times hotter than it's designed to be. I don't care what the engineers say. Get it hot. They did. And those men that threw them in were consumed. And he looks, I got them now. But he saw, oh, what was that? The Lord was there. The king answered, said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. They come out, they're not even smelling like smoke. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He was there with them. That's my second one. First one, the fourth time was. The Lord was there. That self-existent one. He always has been there for his people, for his glory and our good. Always had been before time. What about through all the prophets, all the Old Testament? That's all the scriptures the New Testament believers had, but we have the New Testament on top of it. Through all the Old Testament, the Lord was there. He was there working for his people, revealing himself for his people and in his people. And then our Lord came physically to this earth. And he was here like he'd never been here before. In the flesh. As our representative. Made like unto us. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. There he is. He's with us. The Lord is there. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He always has been there. He was there. He's there on this earth now. Why was he there? Why did the God, Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there, why did he come to this earth? To save his people from their sins. To honor his Father. To fulfill the law. That way justice and mercy can meet. Simeon saw that the Lord was there. Physically, didn't he? He saw the Lord with him. He knew him. But now he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. There was the Lord. He held him. So that's a baby. That's God Almighty. He's there. As he promised. Exactly as he promised. As all the prophets have pointed to. The Lord lived a perfect life on this earth. He came to this earth, and then he lived a perfect life on this earth. Why? He was there in my place. For you that believe in you that are his, he was there in your place. He was a teenager that walked this earth that never gave a disrespectful look to his parents. Somebody's just squeak clean. You think you might have done one little bad? Oh, what a wretch I am. How perfect he was. That's unimaginable. Unimaginable. Living for his people. Giving us his righteousness, his perfect life, his perfect obedience in this world, made of a woman under the law for his people. Then the Lord died for his people. He was there for us before time. He was there for us in promise, the Old Testament. He was there for us in person. And then he died for his people. He was there for us in paper. He was there on that cross at Calvary. He was there. Physically, he was there, yes. Lord, was the Lord there? Oh, have mercy. Acts 2:23 says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Was the Lord there at Calvary? But God turned his back on God. God the Father forsook his Son in perfect righteousness because he was there for his people. because I was supposed to be there. Isn't that right? Where's the man? The omnipresent God is on his throne. Isn't it? We've looked at that. Where's he? Where's God? He's on his throne in heaven, doing whatsoever he pleases. He intercedes for his people. But he also dwells in the hearts of his people. Well, how can he be in two places at once? He's God. He's there. What about over there? He's there too. He dwells in the hearts of his people. Because he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Until this world is over, until my time on this earth is completed, he's with you. Now your time on this earth is completed, the Lord's with you. Well, it doesn't feel like he's there. Oh, everything's going to shambles. How horrible is everything? And it's, Lord's there. Lord's there, isn't he? Then Isaiah 41, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, every trial that we have, if I could get a hold of this, if I could get a hold of 1% of this, every trial that I have, every frustration that I have, this is bad. I'm not happy right now. God is there. He ain't out of business. He's working in his people. This is for his glory and our good. He's there. What about every moment of joy? Oh, he's there. He purposed it. He sent it. Every moment of relief, he sent it. Every moment of loneliness. David had some low days, didn't he? Lord, your mercy is clinging on forever. Where are you? Hide your head from me. He's there. He may have hid himself from him. May have been where we couldn't see him. We can't feel his presence, but he's there. He's there. What if I get up in the morning and go to work? Lord's there. Got a boss you don't like? Old buddy there. You're getting to go to school? Shouldn't walk into that schoolhouse down there. There's principals and teachers and substitutes, and people running around. Lord's in that place. Lord's there. He's in his local assemblies. Did he promise that? I'll give you a word of caution. Don't take it for granted. I have a miserable thing. And the Lord may just dry up the well. He may put out a lot. Don't take it for granted. What's to come? The Lord's with us before time. He was there representing us. He was there in creation. He was there as we fumbled through this world. He was there in all the prophets and all the pictures, all the types. He was there in person. He was there at Calvary. He's on his throne. He's with his people now. What's to come? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. His city will come. His kingdom. What's heaven going to be like? What was that? What will be the glorious part of heaven? You want to go to heaven? What fool don't? Right? Till you find out what it is. Is there no sin there? That's correct. Oh, my faith. It's you. There's no law there. Law of Christ, love, that's it. We'll be holy. We'll be perfect. Is that good? Yes, it is. There'll be no pain. You hurting? You know, pain, never shed another tear. It won't happen. He'll dry your eyes. That's good. No illness. I'll never have to take Zyrtec in the morning ever again. No allergies. Won't happen. Won't have to do it. But there's something far greater than those things. He's there. Didn't our brother Moose Parks preach on that Wednesday morning? He's put away my sin, and I'm eternally grateful for that, and I'm going to praise him for it. That's wonderful. And he took me out from underneath the curse of the law. That's wonderful. But I need to know him. I'm thankful for all those things, and it's vital. It's vital. Well, it ain't nothing without him. He's the one that did. The glory is because he's there. It says there in verse 35, Ezekiel 48. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. That's good news for one that knows him and loves him. good news. And we see those things afar off. We look for his coming, his children do, as he's promised. And we see him in the past. We see all his work and his promises throughout time to his people. We see him a lot of them fulfilled, picturing that spiritual promises he's given us. And we know he's to come. But boy, if you'd be with us now. We could wake up on a Thursday morning and it's raining or not raining or whatever. And you stub your toe getting out of bed and you catch yourself shaving, can't find your hairbrush, and know right then the Lord's there. That one that was before and that one that always will be. He's there with his people. I hope that's a blessing. Father, thank you for being with us. We're so thankful that Christ, our Savior, was there for us before time. He was fulfilled in the prophets of the law. He came to this earth, was made like we are, as our representative, Lord, that you accepted that sacrifice. And now, you can meet with us there. Well, thank you for being with you. We ask that your will be done. Make haste, Lord. Your kingdom come. What a day that'll be. Keep us as you promised you will. Preserve us. Forgive us for what we are. Give us our hearts that wander so fast. Be with us always. Be there. In Christ's name that we ask. Amen. 10:30.